Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, following the numbering system in the commentary of Sri Parashara Bhatta, the name 535 is Kapilacharya. Our Gaudiya commentator, Baladev Vidyabhushan, gave these two names separately, and I shall also speak on them separately, although they're intrinsically interlinked, all this series of names being, especially because this series of names is describing Kapila. The name Kapila refers to the color, so that presumably refers to the skin color of Kapila. Kapila is said to be a complexion which resembles that of a smokeless fire, which is brown, orange, or sometimes said to be yellow, brown. There are some different opinions about that. Brownish, reddish, yellow, brown, brown, orange, light brown, monkey colored. That's brownish. These kind of monkeys we have running around here. Not those ones screaming over there. That's a different... They were monkeys in their previous life, and looks like they're going to be monkeys in their next life also. Practically they're monkeys in this life also. But brownish color. Body. Like an Indian, I guess. We could say brownish. So there are many who are brownish, of brownish complexion. But this specifically refers to the personality of Godhead, Kapila. Kapila the Acharya, the Maharshi, the previous name, was Maharshi. He is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, not so much about his activities. There's not much information about that, but about his teachings. He's known as the son of Kardama Muni, and although generally someone is known as the son of their father, just like in any government form or official form in India, if you fill up, you have to put your name and your father's name. So generally someone is known as the... But, at least what we know from Srila Prabhupada, this Kapila is known more as Devahuti Putra, the son of Devahuti. Devahuti being his mother, his father being Kardama. Of course, Krishna is also known as Yashoda Nandana, Devaki Nandana. Even more than he's known as Nanda Nandana. Or Vasudeva. Vasudeva is a very common word, but that's more used to mean him being the... that's his position as the one who pervades everything. Vasudeva is synonym of Vishnu. Vasudeva Nandan, Vasudeva Atmaja, these are all names. But he's more known as the son of his mother. Anyway, this Kapila is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as the Acharya of the Sankhya philosophy. In that way also he's an Acharya. Anyway, of course the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original Acharya, in as much as an Acharya is a teacher of Vedic knowledge. And the original teacher of Vedic knowledge is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaveye At the time of creation, he infused the Vedic knowledge into the heart of Brahma. And in various avatars, practically, we see this Matsya avatar spoke the Vedic knowledge. Hayagriva, also known as Hayashirsha, he spoke the Dattatreya is another one. There are so many who spoke the Vedic knowledge, but specifically Kapila Muni spoke the Vedic knowledge, that particular part of it, which is Sankhya, Sankhya Darshan. I spoke a little bit about that when I spoke about Maharshi, the name Maharshi. He gave the Sankhya Darshan. This Kapila Acharya, one reason we can put the two names, Kapila Acharya, to differentiate him from the atheist Kapila, who also spoke. Now, you could say he's an Acharya also, just like we say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also referred to Shankara, whose philosophy he rejected, but he also referred to him as an Acharya, in the sense that he taught a philosophical system. Not only a philosophical system, but a system of praxis to go with it. That means the behavior to go with it. That's a very big difference between what's called philosophy in India and what's called philosophy in the West. And in the West, you just have a philosophy and there's nothing to go with it. It doesn't directly affect your behavior, although of course it does. It can in many ways affect your behavior. But in India, any philosophy, anything, it's directed at upliftment, and therefore there is at improving one's situation, knowing that there is the cycle of birth and death, and therefore there is a system of behavior to go with that. Even the most materialistic of the Shad Darshans, which is no, Vedanta is the least materialistic. The most materialistic. Jaimini, karma vivangshavad. Although if we see that the six darshans are put in three pairs, just like the six seasons are put in three pairs. So Jaimini's karma mimangsa is paired with Vedanta. There's Purvimimamsa and Uttamimamsa. Why is that? When one is the most materialistic and the other is the least materialistic. Well, I guess you could say yoga is also, although it's not so much developed as a philosophical system. Well, because they're both Mimamsa. Purva and Uttamimamsa. They both study the meanings of the Vedas. They study the word. They put a lot of emphasis on the word meanings. We have to understand what the Vedas mean. Anyway, getting back to that. So there was the atheistic Kapila also. Now it's Kapila, who is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. He spoke to his mother, Devahuti. The theistic Sankhya Darshan. That means you analyze all the elements, the earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, and the three modes of nature, the different senses, the working senses, and the knowledge-acquiring senses, the objects of the senses. So you put all that together. That's the objects of the senses, the five working senses, the five, the karmendriyas, the gyanendriyas, and then the objects of the senses. That comes to 15, and then the eight elements comes to 23, plus the mind. That comes, or sometimes put as, because even in Sankhya Darshan there are different ways of analyzing it. So that comes to the mind, that comes to 24, and Kapila gives the Atma, the soul, which includes the super soul, So that becomes the theistic Sankhya-darshan, and the difference between him and the atheist Kapila is that the atheist doesn't include the soul. He just stops at analyzing what's in this world without analyzing the yayedam dharyate jagat. The soul, the spiritual force which underlies it. Now, so they both spoke Sankhya philosophy. They're both called Kapila. And they both spoke to Asuri. It's mentioned elsewhere in Shastra. We don't find in the third canto a description of that, of Kapila. We find in the third canto the Kapila speaking Sankhya philosophy to Devahuti, his mother. But earlier in the Bhagavatam, in the list of the different avatars, which ends with Ete Chang Shakala Pungsa Koshtastu Bhagavan Swayam, when Kapila is mentioned, it said that he spoke to Asuri. Asuri is the name of a Brahman, not an Asura. It's a different word altogether. Even the father of Ramanuja was called Asuri. Yeah. So, Asuri Keshav or something like that. No, that's that. Partha Sambadam Asurim, that means that's an adjective. It's not a name. It's an adjective for Sambada. For the, in this, Sambada in this context means qualities. So, Daiva Vistarasha Prokta Partha Sambadam Asurim, now I will speak to you. I've spoken to you at length the godly qualities. Now I'll describe to you the demoniac qualities. So that's an adjective, it's not a name. So Asuri Muni, he's mentioned, you'll find in Bhagavatam and Mahabharata, he's one of the great Munis who's mentioned. So it's mentioned there in that chapter, the third chapter of the first canto, that Kapila spoke to Asuri Brahmana, the knowledge of Sankhya. And the atheistic Kapila also spoke to a disciple called Asuri. It seems to me it's something like the Paundraka, who's just imitates every, takes the name of Vasudev, gets himself two artificial arms, and holds the symbols of Vishnu, the Shankha Chakra, Gada, Padma. So, who knows what's going on? But the thing is that apart from what's accepted generally among philosophers or both East and West as being Sankhya Darshan, we have the six darshans, the six philosophies. Is not Kapila's Sankhya philosophy, but the atheistic one. Now, the original teachings of that is not there, but the Sankhya Karika, which is based on the atheistic Kapila's teachings, that's still extant. So, what we know about the, for instance, the yoga teachings, we have the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, the original. What we know of the Jaimini, we have his teachings, Jaimini Sutras. The Sankhya, we have the Sankhya Karika. Karika means an essay or a work describing. So that's there. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish the real Sankhya philosophy is that which is given by the Devahuti Putra, who also, it's stated in Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan's Govinda Bhasha on Vedanta Sutras, that this Kapila Muni, who is named Vasudev, spoke to Brahma and the other demigods, Asuri Muni, Bhrigu Muni, and the other sages. A Sankhya philosophy that is in perfect harmony with the Vedas. So we don't have a record of that in the Bhagavatam. But we do have it in the Bhagavatam that he spoke to our Suri Muni. But Baladev Vidyabhushan, no doubt drawing from other shastras, says that he spoke this Sankhya philosophy, which is in perfect harmony with the Vedas. But the other one, named Kapila, spoke a different philosophy, even though it's the same in many ways, but the conclusion contradicts the teachings of the Vedas. So you may get many things right, but then you get, ultimately it's all wrong. Just like you say that, someone may say that, well, things equal to each other, things equal to something else are equal to each other. If A equals B and C equals B, then A equals C, right? Okay, that's good logic. So an apple is a fruit, right? And an orange is a fruit, right? So an apple is an orange. No, wrong. So it may sound right and you may have the right system of logic. The logical system may be right, but if it's misapplied, then you get it all wrong. And of course, that's a simple, very simple misuse of logic. But then if it becomes very complicated, then you might not be able to sort it all out unless you get a real acharya. So that's the point. We have to find a real acharya who can tell us what's actually in harmony with the Vedas. Kapila is also mentioned by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Anyone?
Maharshi.
Oh, we already did Maharshi Nam Bhrigoraham, that we did in the last one. Siddhanam Kapilo Munihi. Kapila is still living. Where? Just Makar Sankranti. Just 2 days ago. So many people go there for Ganga Snan. Now you got it. Ganga Saga, where the Ganga meets the sea. And then what is the Ganga goes into the sea? No, it goes down. According to the Puranas, the Ganga doesn't. Flows into the sea, but takes a downward course and goes down to the lower planets. So she covers, Mandakini covers the upper planetary systems. The lizards agree? Should agree. Should be a Vedic lizard and agree. Don't try to counter. Then on this earth she's known as Ganga, and down in the lower region she's known as Bhogavati. So Kapila is still there meditating, and people go on the Makar Sankranti to bathe there. The full thing is you're supposed to bathe at Magha Mela or Kumbh Mela at Prayag on the specific day, or there are several days, and then that vrata becomes complete by bathing at Ganga Saga on the Makar Sankranti. I remember many years ago I was in Calcutta, ISKCON, I was staying there. This was in the 1970s probably, or maybe early 1980s. I was in and out. And one of our two accountants, one was Das and the other was Das Gupta. So one of them was away for a day. He came back the next day after Makar Sankranti, very happy. He said, I bathed them Ganga Saga on the Makar Sankranti day. Now I'm liberated. Because that's what you get for bathing there. So he was very happy. Now I'm liberated. He's every day coming to Krishna's temple, taking Krishna Prasad. Anyway, they don't know of it. Anyway, it's good he had that faith. And still people have that faith. I saw in the news that estimated 8 lakh people went there for bathing just 2 days ago. Again, I remember in Calcutta that you'd see busloads of lots of Marwari women. And most Bengalis don't go so much. It's more North Indians. And there are plenty of them in Calcutta at that time. So they had all these rough buses and cranking their bone. They get liberated on the way to Ganga Saga, and where they still had to suffer the cranking and crashing of the bus on the way back. It's probably a super highway going there now, you know. So he's still residing there, Kapila Muni, Siddhanam Kapila Munihi. He's also mentioned as one of the 12 Mahajanas. What's that verse? Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Kapila, Manohu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishmas, Balia, Vyasakir, Vayam. Interestingly, Vyas isn't mentioned there. He's the greatest authority. Everyone has to follow Vyas. I guess he's not mentioned because it's axiomatic. In the commentary on that verse, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, Srila Prabhupada, undoubtedly quoting from previous acharyas, from Laghu Bhagavatamrita of Rupa Goswami, says that different avatars, they manifest different qualities of the Supreme Lord. Just like Baladev and Vamana and Mohini, they exhibit his beauty. So his transcendental knowledge are demonstrated by Dattatreya, by Matsya, by Kumara, and by Kapila. And the point is that Krishna, he exhibits all the qualities. Some avatars, they specifically show some quality more than others, but Krishna... So, and again, Vyasa is not mentioned there for giving knowledge. It's somewhat of a mystery to me. So, again, his color is said to be like fire, and the Sri Vaishnav commentator, Parashara Bhatta, he says, I'm not sure if he says that, but someone says, that his being like the smokeless fire, his color, can also refer to his character, which is flawless, like the smokeless fire, and also with reference to his knowledge. The knowledge burns up. Sarva, what is that? Knowledge burns up. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that knowledge burns up. I'm just trying to think of the verse. It burns up sinful reactions. Sarva kill Bishop. Sarva. You can look it up in the fourth chapter. It destroys, the blazing fire destroys to ashes. So he's like in that sense also. And that's also stated that by hearing his philosophy, he said, he promised to Devahuti that by understanding this knowledge, you'll be granted liberation. Because by the Sankhya philosophy, we know how the world works, how everything within it, both the elements and the objects, the elements, both gross and subtle, and everything that's formed from all the elements, how they are all interconnected, they're all going on, maya dakshena prakritihi, they're all going on under Krishna's supervision. And because of that, getting that perfect knowledge, what is it? Did you get it? Yathadangsi samidhognir basmasat kuriter juna. Then? Jnanagdi sarva karmanam basmasat kuriter juna. Is it? Basmasat kurute tata. So knowledge burns up the karmic reactions. Perfect knowledge burns up all sins. What is it again? Beginning? Yatha dangsi samidhognir basmasat kurute kurute arjuna. Gyanagdi dagda sarvakaramanam bhasmasat kurute tatha. So just as a fire turns all the fuel, the firewood, to ashes, finishes it off, so this knowledge burns all karma, burns it out, reduces it to ashes, bhasmasat. So in the same way, Kapila, by getting his knowledge, then we become free. By living in this consciousness, we live in the world, but because we know that Krishna's behind everything, then we don't accrue any karma. In other words, we get liberation by this knowledge. Bondage is caused by ignorance. So if we get the knowledge, proper knowledge, we become liberated from this world. So Vishnu is the one who gives that knowledge in various forms, and particularly in the form of Kapila. He gives this Sankhya Darshan. Hare Krishna. Yathādhāṃsī samidhogne bhasmasāt kurite jyona. Don't say it. Gyanagdi dagda karmanam bhasmasāt kurite tata. Gyanagdi dagda karmanam bhasmasāt kurite tata. Have to revise, unless you have photographic memory. Have to revise regularly. Then. You're still young. You can memorize all the Gita. Very, very good. Very helpful. Both for one's own spiritual life and for preaching.
But this means jnana followed by vijnana. Not just jnana, that is, one has to act on this knowledge, then only the karma can be
gone. Jnana and vijnana, these terms often appear together in Gita and elsewhere. But then the terms in different contexts, they are understood to mean different things also. Yeah, well, if one actually has jnana, then one will act. The symptom of having jnana is that one acts according to that. Otherwise, you don't really. Just like there may be a professor in the university who can tell you what Sankhya philosophy is, but they haven't taken it from Kapila Acharya. They haven't become a disciple. So again, this point of Acharya, I mentioned that. That when the Vedic philosophers speak, it's supposed to be knowledge that is for putting into action, by living according to it. It's not just some intellectual exercise. So, jnana, by acting, one should, by hearing, one should put it into practice, and then one realizes it. That should, vijnana, or realization, should come as a natural result of knowledge. Okay. Hare Krishna.